Stop blaming it on holiday stress. We all know it's that time of year when everything feels drained, both your wallet and you. Well, the real problem is right under you. It's that saggy, old, unsupportive mattress. Well, say hello to Ghostbed. Ghostbed is family-run, consumer-loving, with over 20 years of mattress-making mastery. They've engineered the perfect sleep weapon. Durable, insanely comfortable, and cool enough to keep you chill all night long. Every Ghostbed packs their exclusive ProCore technology, a powerhouse support system that cradles your back, supports, and aligns your spine. Translation? You wake up feeling like a human again. Hot sleeper? Ghostbed's cooling materials fight heat 24/7, so you don't wake up sweaty, even when the thermostat that's cranked up. And here's the kicker. Fast, free shipping in just 2 to 5 days. A 101-night sleep trial. And up to a 25-year warranty. That's confidence. Right now, Ghostbed is slashing prices. Up to 50% off compared to other brands. And because you're listening, you score an extra 10% off site-wide. Just use promo code PODCAST at checkout. That's PODCAST for 10% off on top of already insane deals. Upgrade your sleep. Upgrade your life. Ghostbed. The coolest beds in the world.
If you run a Shopify store, listen up. Shopify's got you covered for selling, but when your shipping volume grows and you're juggling multiple plugins just to get orders out the door, you need tools that can keep up. Stop duct taping your shipping workflow and use the tools that work better together, like Shopify and ShipStation. Think of ShipStation as Shopify's dedicated shipping partner. ShipStation goes beyond just shipping labels to save you time and money by automating the entire order fulfillment process, from syncing your orders all the way through inventory management and returns. Automate the rate browser to select the lowest rates on shipments, with discounts up to 90% off major carriers like USPS, UPS, and FedEx. No wonder businesses that use ShipStation grow 3 times faster on average and ship 15 times more orders. See how ShipStation can help you scale and boost your Shopify sales. Go to ShipStation.com and access all features free for 30 days. No credit card or contract required. Cancel anytime. That's ShipStation.com.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It is a football Friday, or probably better stated, a college football Friday, live right here on the Early Line on Sports Grid. We welcome you to hour number 2 here across the Spiz Grizz Network. He is DRS, I am BSS. That's Donnie Wrightside and Ben Stevens. A huge second hour in store where our focus for all 60 minutes is on college football in week number 1. 6 more games tonight following 21 yesterday on a Thursday evening. 67 comes your way tomorrow. A marquee matchup in Las Vegas on Sunday. A top 25 tilt between USC and LSU. And even a game on Labor Day Monday. The debut of Bob for Boston College, that's Bill O'Brien, now as the head coach of the Eagles. And can Florida State rectify its season? Now back here stateside at home. DRS, it is going to be a glorious hour. I am juiced up and excited for a college football Friday here in hour number 2.
You better be, because you're going to be sweating carrying this entire show for the next hour with unbelievable angles, talent, and also information that we desperately need on this Football Friday. Because you know your boy DRS. Like, I enjoyed myself last night. But putting in the work over the summer on college football to start week number 1, not maybe the best use of my time, but I know what I'm talking about. At least I think I do. But BSS is the true superstar of this next hour. Let's give this man a raise here. He's ready to get put to work.
What do you mean, DRS? I thought you had the preseason magazine queued up and ready to go for moments like this.
So when we're going to do it. Like when you like a team, like they're going to be like Notre Dame. Yeah. I'm going to flip through and be like, Notre Dame. Yeah. Oh, look at that. Oh, Riley Leonard's there. There you go. Love the city.
Yeah. And a huge matchup for the Irish tomorrow on the road in College Station, taking on 20th-ranked Texas A&M. Riley Leonard, now the quarterback for the Fighting Irish, against his former head coach, Mike Elko. The two spent the past 2 seasons together in Durham, North Carolina at Duke. We will get you set for the Saturday slate. We will look at the Friday night games that we have and all the marquee matchups in store. But we start here in these first half an hour of this second hour with a college football 2024 season pick six. Mm. Here are the six categories for this new era of CFB. Our national championship prediction. A Heisman winner to keep an eye on. Is Donnie Wrightside a prisoner of the moment? A group of five playoff team that can win one of those leagues and earn one of the automatic bids to a college football playoff. A win total we like to the over. A win total we like to stay under. And a conference championship pick to keep an eye on as well. All right, Mr. Preseason Magazine, let's start with your national title prediction.
Georgia, oh, Georgia. And here's the reason why I like Georgia. You saw last year, and there's a stark contrast, Ben. You know how I always going to work this in. Florida State last year had a chance to prove that they were upset about being left out of the national championship picture. They took their program in a completely different direction. Georgia, in the most heartbreaking loss you can have, losing to your rival in the SEC championship game, got left out of the college football playoff. Ben, they didn't pout. They absolutely put it on Florida State in that bowl game. They had nothing to play for, so they went in with all that momentum and the great recruiting classes and bringing back your starting quarterback from last year. What's not to love to like about the Georgia Bulldogs? And also keep in mind, last year, Ben, we only had four teams that got into the national playoff, and you saw Georgia should have been one of those teams. If we had been a 12-team playoff last year, you know who probably wins the national championship for me? The Georgia Bulldogs. I think they're going to be on a mission this year, and they have the extra ammunition knowing that if they lose one football game, they're still going to be playing for a national championship. I love the Georgia Bulldogs. I love the pedigree. Kirby Smart's one of my favorite coaches because in those times where you have to rally your troops in a meaningless football game, he was able to do that. That shows me a lot. They're on the path once again to a national championship game this year. I believe that.
Donnie, I think it's really hard to argue. I believe Georgia is going to win the SEC. I believe UGA is going to be in the college football playoff. It's a minus 520 price to reach that destination. It's actually the second best number behind Ohio State, who I'll talk about in just a moment. The Bucks, minus 650. But Donnie's spot on in the assessment around Kirby Smart's Dogs. We were so mad, at least some of us, about Florida State being the first of 15 undefeated Power 5 conference champions in the 10-year history of the college football playoff to be left out of the field, that we kind of overlooked Georgia missing the crop as well. It was hard to make an argument for UGA just based on resume and not eye test and talent because of all of the capable teams that we had in the field a season ago. But Georgia has lost one football game in its last 30. Georgia has lost two football games in its last 48, dating back to its final four of the 2020 college football season. And both of those football games against Alabama in an SEC championship game. And in that span, Georgia has won two national championships. One of my favorite things, DRS, about this UGA team is expecting a better defense than we even saw last year. Better? What are you talking about? They were still a top 10 scoring defensive unit in the country. Yes, but they had regressed at least up front in defending the run. I expect a lot of good things out of this Georgia front this year. Mykel Williams, Smail Munden is back as well, and some great guys in the back end, led by Malachi Starks, who might be one of the best DBs and safeties in all of college football. But my favorite thing, Donnie, is flipping the narrative on this Georgia team. When they won two consecutive natties, it wasn't Stetson Bennett in the offense. It was that elite defense. Some of the best units we have seen in the last two decades plus in college football. This year, I think it actually starts offensively for Georgia, led by Carson Beck, who has the second best Heisman Trophy price and had the third most passing yards last year in college football, more than 3,900. Georgia was a top five total in scoring offense, nearly averaging 42 points per game a season ago. The offense is really good in Athens this year, and the defense, I think, gets back to an elite level. I would not be shocked to see a rematch of the college football playoff semifinal from 2022 in this year's national championship game. Georgia and Ohio State. The Buckeyes are my pick to win a national championship at a 4-1 number. So Donnie and I going slightly chalk with the favorites, and then mine the second best price in Ohio State. But the Buckeyes saw Michigan win a national championship a season ago and said never again over my dead body. They have seen Michigan dominate not only them, but the Big Ten the last 3 years, and they have invested in bringing everybody back and everybody in. The transfer quarterback from Kansas State, Will Howard. Quinshon Judkins, the running back from Ole Miss, joins Travion Henderson in the backfield. A stout offensive line for Ryan Day and great wide receivers on the outside. Emeka Egbuka, Carnell Tate is back, and Jeremiah Smith. We'll talk some freshmen a little bit later on in Hour 3. Might be one of the best wide receivers or freshmen in the country. And defensively, there's not much better around the nation than Ohio State. Second best scoring defense in the country last year, allowing only 11 points per game. Jim Knowles' unit is stacked. JT Tuimoloau, you have Jack Sawyer back as well up front. Tyleek Smith anchors the unit on the inside. And then let's go to the secondary. Caleb Downs, the SEC Freshman of the Year last year at Alabama, now in Columbus. Denzel Burke, maybe the best corner in college football, returned as well. Donnie, it is national championship or bust for Ohio State. Those are the expectations in Columbus. Fair or unfair, that is what is necessary in 2024. I think the Buckeyes make good.
Yeah, you know, it's a good point about it, too, is sometimes you're going to look at that Big Ten coming down to that one game against Oregon here. But the best part about that is even if you are breaking in your quarterback, say you haven't played in a big game yet at this university and you lose that, you can still make the college football playoff, learn from that game, and move on. This is what makes it so intriguing when you're picking a national champion. We're not necessarily looking at the schedule so much anymore, but just looking at the quality of the team, what you anticipate if they can lose one game or less, you're in it.
A college football pick six continues next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A guy has his preseason college football magazines, watches one game to kick off week number one, and all of a sudden thinks he knows who's going to strike the pose as a Heisman Trophy winner in early December. As we continue our college football pick six for the 2024 campaign, DRS, we go from the national title winners to a Heisman Trophy winner. Who's your selection?
By the way, real quick on this, how we're setting these up. Like, I was going to play the heel today, Ben, and say my pick six was national champion Miami, Heisman winner Cam Ward, playoff team Miami, win total over Miami, win total under Florida State, and conference champion Miami. Like, we could have played it out that way, and it would have been like, you know what, this guy's on his game. He knows exactly about these football teams. So
follows a correlated path. All of those things would have added up together if it were to happen, so not the craziest thing you've ever said.
Would they have let me round robin? It would have been tremendous. But, yeah, we are not a regional show, so we're not going to keep this down in South Beach here. We got to spread our wings. But watching last night was phenomenal. And sort of laying out the game plan of how you can win a Heisman. I told you, like, typically it's going to be a quarterback because they're going to have their Heisman moments on a good football team, make big plays in big situations. You're going to get the bump there. But statistics from the running back position and the wide receiver position usually leave out how good your football team is. So, yes, you would love the extra bump if you're a wide receiver at Alabama like Devonta Smith, killing it out there on a national championship caliber team, sure. But if you're not going to have that, why not have a school that's in a conference notorious for not playing a lot of defense? You already don't have a great defense, which means you are going to throw with your top flight quarterback routinely 35 to 45 times in a game, and you just might be the best wide receiver in football. Now, also, Ben, when I talk about, let's just say, the MVP award, the extracurriculars, the Cy Young award, the same thing, like Paul Skeens, hey, you know what? If Skeens was the linchpin for the Pittsburgh Pirates bringing him up to the majors and surging towards the playoffs, people are going to look at that and like, you know what? His ERA is up there with, you know, Zach Wheeler's, and it's up there with Chris Sale's, but boy, he was the catalyst for them winning. You might get an extra couple votes that way. Well, when you take a look here from a college football team, it works that way in the actual quarterback position if you're winning. But from a wide receiver, wins and losses aren't measured on you here. And also the extracurriculars for Travis Hunter are he plays two positions and plays them all game. And he's not just filler like, hey, the guy plays on special teams and he's a wideout. Ooh, that's interesting. Like, no, he might play 100 plus snaps every single football game between offense and defense this year. So the extracurriculars go in his direction. And yes, you might be watching it based off of yesterday saying, like, boy, you're getting really excited about one player. It's not as if this guy just showed up like, wow, never seen him before. He was awesome last year. And it looks like, Ben, he's even better this year.
Since 2000, 19 of the 23 Heisman Trophy winners have played the quarterback position. In the college football playoff era, 8 of the 10. If you are going to be a non-QB and legitimately be in the Heisman Trophy race all season long, you have to be Travis Hunter, the best two-way player in college football, nearing 125 snaps. No official snap count as of yet, but about 125 last night. 7 grabs, 132 yards, 3 receiving touchdowns. My only worry, DRS, is Colorado as a team the entire way. If they're going to be a 5 or 6 win football team and not really in college football playoff contention or make it a run to a Big 12 championship game, does it lose a little bit of its luster despite the star power out in Boulder? But there is no doubt the star power is there for CU. Shador Sanders and Travis Hunter, both at 25-1 following last night's victory over North Dakota State. My Heisman Trophy winner to keep an eye on, that's Jalen Milroe, the quarterback for Alabama at 14-1. I believe in Kalen DeBoer fully. And if you have some questions about taking over for Nick Saban and the very large shoes to fill in terms of the program, fine. In terms of developing quarterbacks, nah. Look at Michael Penix Jr. at Indiana and Washington. Look at Jake Haner under DeBoer at Fresno State. And then look at Milroe a season ago. Only throwing for 250 yards 3 times, but potentially in Alabama's toughest games outside of the SEC title against Texas, Texas A&M, and Auburn. Also ran for more than 530 yards and 12 rushing scores. And Donnie, as you well know, when it comes to the rushing yards for a quarterback in college football, sacks are a negative. It takes away from your rushing yardage output. And Alabama gave up 49 sacks last year. It was a concern for Nick Saban all season long. It's going to get better under Kalen DeBoer. He brought some talent over from UW. Tyler Booker, one of the best guards in the sport, is back for Bama as well. Because of who his offensive mind now is, Kalen DeBoer, and because of what Jalen Milroe possesses back for another year as a starting quarterback, keep an eye on the signal caller for the Crimson Tide at a 14-1 price to win a Heisman Trophy.
It's crazy as we look at Alabama this year. We know they're high rated, but it almost feels like Alabama's in like the sleeper category since Nick Saban isn't there, as if this college football team would fall off the planet right away. DeBoer is a great offensive mind and certainly going to help Jalen Milroe out. I expect big things out of Alabama, and that means big football games, chances for a lot of Heisman moments. Maybe the biggest moment in Jalen Milroe's career is when Kevin Walsh and Joe Lisi were watching the National College Football Playoff. It's on tape, it's recorded, and chased out of the room was Kevin Walsh by screaming, Milroe, Milroe, Milroe. So maybe this year he actually gets over the top. He's capable and he could do it. And I expect big things from him and Alabama this year.
He certainly is. DRS, we got to fly around. Let's go to our group of five playoff teams before we hit the break, and then we'll give you win totals on the other side. Who is that G5 team you think can make the college football playoff?
App State, Boone, North Carolina, one of the best atmospheres you'll find in G5 football out here. Even though I don't think G5 teams should be included in the college football playoff, they will be. There will be a player. Joey Aguilar, very good season last year, returning back. And just like we're talking about Ohio State, how about 9 starters back on the defense for App State? There'll be a player this year, and I think they can win the Sun Belt.
Joey Aguilar, one of the top 10 quarterbacks last year in college football, 7th most passing yards, 3,757, 33 touchdowns to only 10 interceptions. Yep. I think Boise State is going to win the Mountain West once again. They're a minus 145 favorite to win that conference crown. And of course, as you are trying to lock up one of the 5 bids automatically that go to the 5 highest ranked conference champions in college football, if Boise State can be high enough ranked in front of others, which I believe the Broncos will have the opportunity to do, a 4-1 price to reach the college football playoff makes a lot of sense to me. Some win total overs and unders up next in our Pick 6.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A win total over, a win total under, and a conference championship bet to round out our pick six entering the 2024 college football campaign that started last week with week zero. 21 games to officially kick off week one last night at the FBS level. So we get you set for the first full weekend of this season. Win total over, win total under. Fire through, DRS.
Yeah, keep it simple. In the SEC at this point, and we just talked about it, I should say you talked about quite a bit, the expectations for Alabama certainly high this season, as if they fell off just because Nick Saban left. Yes, Nick Saban may be the best college football coach of all time, but Kalen DeBoer and those slouch did wonderful things out there with Washington, going to bring that high-flying offense with Jalen Milroe, the ability to lose a game or two in the SEC. I'm going to go over 9.5 wins for the Alabama Crimson Tide, and my win total under is on Florida at 4.5. I love this, just from a handicapping perspective. If you're not really in tune with college football going over the day-to-day scheduling, you'd say to yourself, that's ridiculous. It has to be an error, but it's not. If you look at Florida's schedule this year, are the expectations high for them talent-wise? Not necessarily. Coupled with that SEC schedule, can you, like, in my 4 wins for a Florida football team, I'm going under. That number is so outrageous, there has to be something to it. And what's to it? It's that schedule they have. And the thing I love about it is game number one, you're going to know a lot about Florida. If they lose to Miami, that 4.5, absolutely in play, and I think they lose this weekend.
The last time that Florida only won 4 games in a season was 2017, and that was the last of Jim McElwain in Gainesville. Nobody has a more difficult schedule this year than UF, and it starts on Saturday, albeit at home as an underdog against Miami. The Gators play 8 preseason ranked top 25 teams, and I dare you to go look at the final 5 for UF that starts with the cocktail party against Georgia and gets no easier in the month of November. This is the first win total that I bet way back early in the offseason, where the juice at the time to the over was -110. It's now -200 on the FanDuel Sportsbook. I'm surprised it's not 8.5 with some juice on the under. That's in Ames, Iowa, over 7.5 for Iowa State. They return the most returning production at 85% of their production from a year ago in all of FBS college football, including a quarterback who earned his experience last year in Rocco Becht, his top playmakers on the outside and the entirety of his offensive line. Defensively, they're going to be great once again under Matt Campbell. They were a 7-win football team in the regular season last year, DRS, ended with 6 losses, 5 of the 6 by 10 points or less, 3 of the 5 by just a field goal. So I expect this Iowa State team to win at least 8 games this year, maybe even contend for a Big 12 title. Oklahoma, who won 14 Big 12 titles, 14 of the 28 when they were given out conference championships in that league, now goes to the SEC, and the Sooners have a difficult slate as well. Much like Florida, they end the year with a grueling gauntlet. They have the 5th most difficult schedule in all of college football. Here is OU's final 4 games. At Ole Miss, FCS opponent Maine sandwiched in between. At Missouri, home against Alabama. At LSU in Baton Rouge. I don't think Oklahoma's a bad football team, but 7.5 with an OU defense that needs to keep improving under Brent Venables and a first-year starter at quarterback in Jackson Arnold, despite the talent that Arnold is, I lean under with just a very difficult slate to start off their SEC time.
It makes some sense, too, Ben, because you're looking at that team now and also that fan base by now saying, ooh, a great season is 8 wins? That used to get your coach fired at Oklahoma. So times are changing. Along with expectations, they're going to have to adjust.
All right, your conference championship pick could have been everything in the pick 6, so finish with your Canes.
It's Miami. It is. And the table's already been set here. You saw Florida State not going to be a player this year in college football. Now you see Clemson's going to take on Georgia week number one. And you're going to see the Miami Hurricanes take on the Florida Gators. You might be looking at Miami, of those top three teams, the only team with a victory here to start their season. And maybe the expectations on Florida State even to get dropped by BC coming up on Labor Day. We'll watch that all the way through. The Miami Hurricanes and Mario Cristobal, rightfully so, getting back to being the kings of college football.
I have my questions about Cristobal and his game management
coaching style.
Not the talent for Miami. And the schedule is not all that bad. They host Florida State, don't have Clemson or NC State. I'll make it quick. Kansas State to win the Big 12 because of Avery Johnson, their quarterback, a 4-1 number. We set the stage for the weekend next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Georgia is on the mind as we start our breakdown and preview of the first full Saturday of the college football season in 2024. That comes your way tomorrow. It's got Donnie Wrightside singing in the commercial breaks, and it's got our focus first and foremost. The first of three ranked versus ranked matchups that we have in week number one in Atlanta, technically a neutral site, but don't tell that to the Clemson backers that are trying to outbid Dogs backers to get a ticket to the ATL. It's a top 15 tilt between Georgia and Clemson. The Bulldogs enter the year ranked atop the country in the preseason poll for a second consecutive season. Clemson remains in the top 15, ranked 14th. But Donnie, if we can use the spread as an indication of the trajectory of these two programs in the last 3 years, I do believe it is fitting. Both started the year against one another in 2021 in Charlotte, week number one, kickoff game in primetime, neutral site. Clemson was a 3-point favorite. Now, 3 years later, neutral site in Atlanta, Georgia is nearly a 2-touchdown favorite. It was 13.5 bright and early on this Friday morning. It is 12 and a hook, but nearly 16 points of line movement from where we were 3 years ago. Total at 48 and a hook. Oh, by the way, when they last met back in 2021 in that season debut, Georgia was victorious 10-3.
And it seems like the same trajectory for Clemson, right? It used to be the days of Trevor Lawrence was fantastic. That offense could move. Superstars all over the field. Deshaun Watson, same thing. I don't get that same respect yet of Clemson's offense. And also Klubnik coming in, expected to be that next level five-star recruit that was going to take you to the next level. And we haven't seen that yet out of him. Maybe you see it this year. But to put him in that neutral site, as I want to put in like air quotes at this point, down in SEC territory in the Mercedes-Benz Dome, that's not really fair for him at this point. But you're expected to perform. Like, nobody from Clemson, even Dabo Swinney, is going, hey, you know what? Let's go in here and see what we can do. And if we lose, let's just keep it close. We'll be happy. No, Clemson is expected to play for a national championship or be on that level, which means you're going to have to be against that for Georgia. Hear me out on this. I don't understand the line movement, to be honest. 13.5 down to 12.5. If you're looking at the FanDuel Sportsbook right now, under betting statistics, percentage of bets on Georgia, 75%. Percentage of money, 84% on Georgia, and the line is dropping. So you are getting sharp money here coming on Clemson, bringing that line down. When you typically have that much money, you don't go from 13.5 to 12.5, Ben. You go from 13.5 to 14.5 to 15 in that range. Yeah. So that does have my eye. But for me, looking at the season in totality, I just think Georgia is so much better in this spot. And if I look at this game and say, whose offense am I going to trust right out of the gate in a big moment? It's going to be Georgia's. It's not Clemson's here. I look for a 2-touchdown victory from Georgia, a win and a cover.
I guess one of the reasons the line could be working back to Dabo Swinney's Tigers is because you see the total of 48 and a hook and a near 2-touchdown spread. For Georgia to cover by 14-plus in this game to stay around that total, that's a lot of scoring from Georgia, and that's not a lot of scoring from Clemson. That three-year span from when they met to start 2021 to where we are now at the beginnings of 2024, Georgia has won 2 national championships. They have won 44 of 46 games. They are on a 39-game win streak in the regular season. Meanwhile, Clemson, that entered the 2021 campaign winning six consecutive ACC crowns and six berths into the college football playoff, they have not been back to the CFP. They have one ACC title to show for it. And last year, four conference losses, the most since Dabo Sweeney's second full year at the helm of Clemson back in 2010. That is where these two programs are entering this year. And my main focus, DRS, is not on the defensive side of the football. These two programs, two of five programs around the country that in the last five full seasons have held opponents to less than 20 points per game on average all 5 years. Clemson, Georgia, Iowa, Michigan, Penn State, those the five good defenses. It's the Tigers' offense, less than 30 points per game last season. And in the past 3 years, they have not ranked inside the top three in terms of the ACC in scoring offense. In those 6 years from 2015 to 2020, six straight conference crowns, six straight college football playoff bids, two national championships in 2016 and 2018. Of course, they were ranked inside the top three all three seasons. I lean Georgia in this football game, and I would keep an eye on Carson Beck's number. Again, I think you start the conversation this year with Georgia offensively, knowing the defense is going to be stout once again. So that's one of the three top 25 ranked versus ranked matchups that we have. Now we go prime time in College Station at Kyle Field, one of the great environments in college football. It's a top 20 tilt, 20th ranked Texas A&M, 7th ranked Notre Dame. The Aggies now a 2.5-point home favorite under a field goal, but Notre Dame opened early in the summer as a slight money line favorite in College Station. Mike Elko's debut as the head man in College Station, former Duke coach the past 2 years, spent 4 years under Jimbo Fisher as Texas A&M's defensive coordinator. He reunites in his first game at A&M against his former quarterback at Duke, Riley Leonard, who's now the QB for Notre Dame. Confused? That's college football in 2024.
It certainly is. So you know the strengths and the weaknesses right off the bat. Now, can you play into that a little bit too much? Maybe that quarterback does make some changes by going to Notre Dame. We're going to find out. But also, what do we like? We just talked about a top 20 tilt with Clemson and Georgia. Fantastic. Love to see it right off the bat without any cupcake scheduling to start the season. You're getting the same thing here with Notre Dame and Texas A&M. And also, we talked about that Clemson-Georgia game. Technically, it is on a neutral site, so you're not going to get that home field advantage. You're going to get one of the best home field advantages in college football down in College Station. Yeah. They're going to be ready for Notre Dame. That atmosphere is going to be great. Their quarterback is coming back to the fold. But it's sort of a tough concept for me because I don't know what I'm getting out of Mike Elko and that football team right off the bat. I do know that Notre Dame is going to be prepared to come in, but the question marks also bring up, what's Riley Leonard going to bring to the table? You saw last year they did the same thing, bringing Sam Hartman over, more of a passer. Riley Leonard, more of a dual threat, which I do think, Ben, really helps you out early in the season. Because the one thing we saw from Duke, that wasn't great skill positions that were wrapped around him. Mm-hmm. And he made a lot of things happen in big moments, which we're expecting the same thing. But I will give the advantage to Texas A&M. And at the FanDuel Sportsbook today, if we're looking at those betting statistics, 57% of the bets coming in on Notre Dame right now. We'll see where that line winds up by game time. I wonder if it gets to three.
I wonder as well. 46.5 is the total. Two really good defenses squaring off under Marcus Freeman. Notre Dame in the past two seasons has seen defensive year-over-year improvement. That's the first matchup I look at. Connor Wigman back for Texas A&M. Only four games last year before an injury in the fourth game ended his season. There's a lot of high hopes about what Wigman can do in this offense at A&M. But Notre Dame a season ago, fourth best passing defense in the country, only giving up just under 175 yards per game. Eighth best scoring defense as well, 16.6 points per game. Under Elko as a defensive coordinator, A&M had the third best scoring defense in his final year in College Station before he departed to Duke. They allowed less than 16 points per game. Riley Leonard last year, only four fully healthy games for his former skipper in Mike Elko, but against the three Power Four teams, including the upset against Clemson, he only threw for a touchdown and an interception. not a ton of passing stats, less than 200 yards in all three of those games against power conference foes, but at least 88 yards on the ground, three touchdowns in total in those three games. A dynamic athlete at the quarterback spot. We'll see how it plays out for Notre Dame to start off 2024. We go to the Florida faceoff on the other side of the break. Will Donnie's Hurricanes start the year with a big victory in the Sunshine State against in-state foe Florida? Or will we have questions about the Canes under Mario Cristobal to begin 2024? That and the marquee matchup in Sin City on Sunday up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I've got an idea on what side Mr. Right Side Donnie will be on for the Florida face-off midway through the Saturday slate tomorrow in the Swamp. A great game, a compelling game that will come with swift reactions and many narrative takeaways. Miami, a top 20 team, 19th in the country, entering 2024 with high expectations in South Florida. It's year three under Mario Cristobal. The Canes just 12-13 in his first 2 years, but he played at Miami. He knows what it means to bring Miami to the national pantheon. Will it get done this year? The Hurricanes, a 2.5-point road favorite in Gainesville. The fearsome Swamp, maybe not so much anymore against UF. The over under 54.5. DRS, can Miami cover as less than a field goal favorite against Florida?
I think they can, and this is big because we've seen in the past where Florida and Miami had some unbelievable matchups. I still remember the game. I want to say it was 2003 at this point where Devin Hester returned the opening kickoff. They were down with Brock Berlin, three touchdowns in the second half, came all the way back to win that. We've had some memorable games, including the Florida flop back in the day where Miami's last play of the game, they all laid down on defense to let Florida score another touchdown. So they got a long history that goes back. I love to see this rivalry continue, but also – Miami is not on a neutral site. They're not playing in the Citrus Bowl. They're not playing in the, you know, the old Orange Bowl, quite frankly, down at Hard Rock. This game is on the road, and they're laying points to the Florida Gators, which tells you something right off the bat. And this line has been out for quite some time and not really moving all that much. And also, it might be astounding to people watching the show today, the Florida Gators team total at 4.5. This buys into it. This is one of those games where you might be looking at Florida's schedule as they need absolutely to win this game if they want to win 5 games on the season. So I'm buying into the line itself and the hype for Miami. Now, get this, though. Miami is really hyped coming into the season. We've seen it maybe sometimes over the past. Malik Rozier is in there, and maybe they're winning games. We know they're ultimately all not that good. This could be a referendum game right off the bat. Mario Cristobal walks into Florida, picks up a victory. Doesn't even matter if it's ugly. Those vibes are going to continue the rest of the way. But it's not as if saying, like, well, Donnie, if they lose to Florida, they can still make the college football playoff. I get that. But this feels like a game that Miami absolutely must have here and is expected to win, that they need to win that. I'm expecting Miami to come out big. Your quarterback, maybe the best quarterback they've had over the past couple years by far, solid running back position here, the talent at the wide receiver position, one of the best young defensive ends in college football rushing the passer. Get the job done, Miami. This would mean that maybe you are starting to come back here into that national picture.
It's year number three for Billy Napier. It's year number three for Mario Cristobal. A lot of year-over-year improvement is expected in both spots. Does Napier get a little bit of the benefit of the doubt because of the Gators' schedule? I don't really think
so. Way.
Again, the hardest schedule in the country. The only good news for UF is of the 8 ranked opponents they have to play based on the preseason AP Top 25, 5 of them, including tomorrow in the Swamp, come at home. Last year as a dog, Napier and the Gators just 2-5 against the spread. In his first year, 5-1 against the number, and they were great as an underdog at Louisiana. Louisiana under Napier in his 4 years there, 12-5 ATS, but not good defensively last year for Florida. That's where the improvement needs to be. In Miami, returns its entire offensive line that led the Canes to 173 rushing yards per game. Yes, they are going to air it out, and they've got a great trio of wide receivers led by Xavier Restrepo, and they've got Cam Ward there as well, who threw for the seventh most passing yards last year in college football, or eighth most passing yards, but still over 3,700. But Damian Martinez, the transfer running back from Oregon State, a name to know for tomorrow against a bad Florida rushing defense a season ago. Sin City on a Sunday, the third and final ranked versus ranked matchup that we have. It's LSU, a 4.5-point favorite against USC. The over-under stands at 64.5. DRS, both of these teams played 13 games a season ago, including their bowl victories. Both went over a ton. USC over in 10 of 13. LSU, the highest over percentage in college football last year, over in 12 of 13. Both have brought in, though, new defensive coordinators, hoping to shore up that side of the football. What do we see out in Las Vegas?
I'm going to buck the trends here, and I'm going to go against the grain. You see LSU opened up as a 6.5-point favorite. That's down to 4.5. I'm going to take LSU in this game, just trusting that SEC talent, and also trying to remind ourselves, you're not just moving on from a quarterback at USC and also LSU by saying like, oh, you know, they were decent players. No, they were generational talents at their institutions, and both of those guys, high draft picks into the NFL. So I see that 62.5 that goes to 64.5, Ben. Both teams breaking in new quarterbacks. I'm going to go under the 64.5. So I'll go against the grain on the actual line itself. I'll buy the interest now at 4.5, where it was close to a touchdown. And I'm going to go under in this one. I understand what you said last year. A lot of these games went over. But again, you're talking about some of the best quarterback play in Jaden Daniels and Caleb Williams that we've seen in a long time. And I think it might take some time. And also a neutral site here to open up the season. I might lean on the under in this one.
Listen, both defensive coordinators now at their new spots, poached from conference rivals. Danton Lynn, the new DC at USC, leaves UCLA, makes the short trip from downtown LA to from Westwood to downtown LA to take over the reins at Southern Cal. Blake Baker, the new defensive coordinator in Baton Rouge, last year in Columbia with Missouri. By the way, Mizzou didn't skip a beat on that side of the football. Yes, an FCS opponent in Murray State, but a 51-0 victory yesterday for Missouri, ranked 11th. In the country. I'm going to wait on the total until I see these defenses, because the offenses are going to be good once again. Miller Moss, 6 touchdowns in the Holiday Bowl last year for USC, the heir apparent now to Caleb Williams. And Lincoln Riley's offenses, say what you want about the defense, but Lincoln Riley's offenses are always there. Garrett Nussmeier has bided his time as well, bode his time in Baton Rouge. He takes the reins of this strong offense for LSU. Kyron Lacy, a really good wide receiver, much in the mold of a Malik Nabers for LSU. Here is my plea to Oklahoma State. We'll talk about this game a little bit more on the other side. And really, as we saw last night for Colorado, stop scheduling the Dakotas and the FCS powerhouses in college football. Because North Dakota State is the most historic program, but South Dakota State is up right now. 2 consecutive national titles in FCS college football. They'll take the Stillwater on Saturday next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I don't know why anybody in their right mind would decide to start a college football season with expectation against a team that plays FCS football in the Dakotas, whether it's South or North. North Dakota State is the biggest pedigreed program in FCS college football. 9 national championships, 6 in the last 10 years. But you know who's won the last 2? That's South Dakota State. The Jackrabbits. They have won 2 consecutive FCS national titles. They have won 29 consecutive games. Their last loss in a football game was to start 2022 against Iowa. The Hawkeyes held on for a 7-3 victory. We call it the Iowa touchdown now. It was two safeties and a field goal that led to those 7 points. And there is so much returning talent for South Dakota State against a team that also features a lot of returning talent in Mike Gundy's Oklahoma State Cowboys, who enter the year as a ranked team getting ready for this matchup against SDSU. But less than a double-digit spread, as we saw at Austin Points entering last night in Boulder. The Pokes land 9.5 at home, the over-under 54.5. I'll just say good luck to the Cowboys.
Yeah, by the way, is it just apparent that if you do play North Dakota State or South Dakota State, you just automatically line that game at 9.5, as it feels like? Because yeah, that line was for most of the week there on Colorado itself. But you're right about this. As a head coach, you don't like to see these games, even though you're still supposed to win it. And it's nice to get a test here, because the one thing you saw from Colorado, they picked up the victory, but you get some good film work to say, look, that was a really good team. We pulled out that victory, as opposed to the mirage of let's wipe Howard off the field. Yeah, we were fantastic, and you roll into game number two against a legitimate opponent and say, whoa, things are really different at this point. So there's something to be said about that. And also the advent of the 12-team playoff, where I guess if you lose to South Dakota State, you're still involved in the national championship picture, even though that most people probably won't pick you to win it if you do drop to an FCS team. 9.5 for me, 54.5. The way I saw yesterday, I think that 54.5 is certainly going to be in danger. I would go over in this, because I do think you're going to get a great punch out of South Dakota State and Oklahoma State. You know they're going to be in it with some offense. So as opposed to laying the points, I think it's going to be a close game to what we saw yesterday. But I think we do get into the 50s here in this game. Yes.
The Rabbits were the best scoring defense in FCS college football last year, allowing 9.3 points
That's
per
crazy.
Game. And they run it.
No way.
And their quarterback, Mark Gronowski, is back as well. He was the FCS Offensive Player of the Year a season ago. 29 touchdown passes to only 5 interceptions, 402 yards on the ground, 8 rushing scores. But when you talk about running the football in this game, you must mention the nation's leading rusher, who is back. Ollie Gordon II, 1,732 rushing yards, 21 TDs last year, 118 yards on the ground or more, and 9 of the 14 for the Cowboys a year ago. So because of that, Donnie, I actually do think we will see some points. And listen, North Dakota State was a good defense last year in college football, but you see how the secondary got exposed against the pure talent that Colorado has. I don't think South Dakota State is going to be able to fully shut down Ollie Gordon II or the returning seventh-year quarterback in Alan Bowman. I think we will see some points tomorrow in Stillwater. And Oklahoma State has allowed 29 points per game in each of the last 2 years, worst total and passing defense in the Big 12 a season ago. Let's go to a rivalry in college football. That's Penn State and West Virginia. One of the marquee matchups to start the slate on a Saturday. The 61st all-time meeting between the Nittany Lions and the Mountaineers. They met last year. Penn State scored a touchdown with 5 seconds left with their backup quarterback to win 38-15. The Nittany Lions covered as a 20.5 point favorite. Apparently, that is stuck in the craw of Neil Brown's team there in Morgantown. They're not too pleased. Will they be able to cover or maybe even win outright at home against PSU to start off this season?
You're taking a look at the FanDuel Sportsbook opening this line, Ben, at 10.5. They're now down to 8.5. Other outlets have dropped as low as 7.5 right now. So the belief right now is Virginia is going to be a live dog. Now, how much you want to draw back from previous performance, say, that wasn't fair, we're going to get you back for scoring a touchdown late? That's neither here nor there, because one thing we know about James Franklin, if he has a chance to put an extra 7 on the board, he'll try to put an extra 14 points on the board, regardless of what the scoreboard says. 51.5 sounds about right, but this is a pretty good rivalry here. Stoking the fire in week number one, I'm probably going to lean a little dog points here. West Virginia at home getting more than a touchdown, probably the way I'm going to lean.
Key matchup, WVU, best rushing offense in the Big 12 last year, averaging 229 yards per game. And their three leading rushers, who had more than 770 yards on the ground, all back, including quarterback Darren Green. Hour three up next.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets.
So it's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
Even though severe cases can be rare,
respiratory syncytial virus, or RSV, is still the leading cause of hospitalization in babies under one. RSV often begins like a cold or the flu, but can quickly spread to your baby's lungs. Ask your doctor about preventative antibodies for your baby this season, and visit protectagainstrsv.com. The information presented is for general educational purposes only. Please ask your healthcare provider about any questions regarding your health or your baby's health. Even when you're playing music, you're always listening to your baby, especially when RSV is on your mind. Beyfortus, nirsevimab ALIP, is the first and only long-acting preventative antibody that gives babies the RSV antibodies they lack. Beyfortus is a prescription medicine used to help prevent serious lung disease caused by RSV or respiratory syncytial virus in babies under age 1, born during or entering their first RSV season, and children up to 24 months who remain at risk of severe RSV disease through their second RSV season. Your baby shouldn't receive Beyfortus if they have a history of serious allergic reactions to Beyfortus, nirsevimab ALIP, or any of its ingredients. Tell your baby's doctor about any medicines they're taking and all their medical conditions, including bleeding or bruising problems. Serious allergic reactions have happened. Get medical help right away if your child has any of the following signs or symptoms of a serious allergic reaction, such as swelling of the face, mouth, or tongue, difficulty swallowing or breathing, unresponsiveness, bluish color of skin, lips, or under fingernails, muscle weakness, severe rash, hives, or itching. Most common side effects include rash and pain, swelling, or hardness at their injection site. Individual results may vary. Ask your baby's doctor about Beyfortus. Visit Beyfortus.com or call 1-855-BEYFORTUS.